Time to whiz over to Melbourne and say hello to business futurist Maurice Misiolowski. How are you?
Yeah, great, Phil.
Awesome. I want to just pick up from the end of my conversation with Jared this morning, just for a minute or so. He was basically saying this thing of Elon Musk saying, give me 100 days, I'll fix your energy problems. And Jared says to me, the game's afoot. He's really going to likely do it.
Yeah, look, if Elon takes it on, he usually does. It's the same guy we talked about, you know, what, beginning of the year that was stuck in traffic in LA and thought, why can't I go underground? And within 3 days, he had one of his bores digging a hole. The guy doesn't know the word defeat, I don't think. And even if he doesn't make 100 days, I'd be surprised if he doesn't.
Yeah.
And even if he didn't, I'm sure he's going to get close. But what fascinates me is the way this whole deal came together was through a series of tweets. It was really just one of those conversations. Well, it didn't start off as a bet, but it started off as a conversation in Adelaide about what, you know, how do we resolve the fact that we were out of energy for 10 days and there's nowhere to store it, there's nothing we can do, nothing on the horizon that will change it quickly.
Yeah.
The guy from Atlassian, which is an Australian company that sold for a couple of billion dollars, a young guy in his 20s, tweeted it out, and Elon picked up on the thread and said, look, I'll fix it for you. Just give me 100 days and I'll build you a plant that's bigger and better than anything you've ever seen before. And it literally was that. And our Prime Minister then jumped on a tweet and said, yeah, you're up for it.
It's going to create corporate chaos because bubbles are going to be, I mean, literally bubbles are going to be burst all over the place if it works.
And that's the bit that I love most about this story. The reality is that what he's done is proven to everybody the thing, again, that we've talked about for a long time, and that's that we're decentralized now. That energy, energy was something that was given to us by a corporation, and we had wires coming into our home, as did everybody else. And this new world of energy that I believe we're moving into is decentralized. We actually create it either at our own homes, our factories, or our offices, or very close to us, and we share it out. And that's what Elon's doing. I mean, the technology is actually quite simple. It's the battery that you and I have in our mobile phones by a couple of million stuck together. I mean, not literally, but it is the same battery.
Yeah, I mean, things could get quite nasty with established energy industries, though, couldn't they? I mean, you can, it's almost, you see a movie on the horizon.
You do, but the reality is, the strong reality is that this most probably will take up some market share. He has a home version of it launched earlier this year, which is something that you and I can buy for about 10,000 US, and it will store the energy that we have. The big difference in what he does to what is available otherwise is that most others will store it, but you have to use it, so it loses it. This is actually storage forever, so it will actually keep the charge until you use it. That's the big difference. And it doesn't drop. But it's fascinating to see that we now have a player in this space that's so vastly different. And it's what I've been waiting for, him and a couple of others, because the reality always was that the established crew spoke a good game. They talked about changing energy and they told us what we wanted to hear, but they were never going to do it in the short term. They had too much built in to want to change us away from oil, gas and coal. Just doesn't make sense for them to do it overnight.
Well, every other day you hear stuff coming out of Australia about more mines. That's what we need.
Well, yeah, it's what we claim we need for our economic benefit. I don't know if it's what we need for our energy resources, but that's a whole different debate by better people who know more about it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're still digging it up. I mean, coal is something that we could dig for a very long time. So we will wait and see what will happen. I'm fairly sure that he will do this. It's not his first crack, you know, it's not his first ride at the rodeo, as they say. He's done this before, not this size, but he's done similar projects. If he says he'll 100 days in, pretty much I take it as being done.
Yeah, your money's safe there. Well, it's interesting. He took his company's name from this fascinating genius called Nikola Tesla, whose birthday it was yesterday. Now, he is your... he's got to be your archetypal underdog, but with a difference because he was so talented. Something went wrong in history.
Look, everything went wrong for this guy. He was, to all accounts, one of the most talented, as you said, but I think one of the cleverest innovators that we have seen for a century or more. And we've seen a lot of them in the last 100 years. This guy was truly ahead of his time. His greatest problem, like many people, is that he had a brilliant idea, but he was an awful business person. He could just not bring it to fruition. And he was literally ripped off. He was mistreated, mishandled at every step. People took advantage of him. And he died penniless. He literally died penniless without a name.
What would have happened if big business had jumped on his inventions instead of Edison's to us now?
Well, they had. They absolutely had. So Westinghouse, that great name Westinghouse, which in the late 1800s was not what we think of it now as being appliances, but was an electrical powerhouse. It was a today's equivalent of multi-billion dollar corporation, certainly took him. And they allowed him to be able to build and invent, and they gave him a lot of money to do it. But at a point when the things got difficult, they said enough was enough, and they kept the patents that he sold to them. So they, at the end of it, treated him quite badly as well. Mm. There were other examples, too, of other large corporations that could see the genius. But like everything, especially in its day 100 years ago, it took a long time for it to come to fruition. There was nothing for him to base it on. So he was literally building prototype and it not working, and it kept going and going. So a lot of people just lost the impetus for it and just walked away from him with the patents.
You know that movie, The Prestige, everybody's seen it, where David Bowie played him, and when they go to his house, there's all these light bulbs in the ground. Is that, I guess that's legit?
Well, I don't know, but certainly we're told it's legit. So he did all of them. I mean, the guy was really very, very clever. We know that he invented DC, which is the direct current, for which we all have to thank him for when we turn on an electrical switch or anything similar. But he also invented the radio.
Yeah.
He was purportedly the person who came up and was able to bring this to fruition. Again, commercially, it didn't work for him. The fluorescent light globe was another one of his inventions. He was also the first one for the hydroelectric plant. No one had ever thought of it, been able to do it, and he had built it. Again, it didn't give him much commercial success, but GE went on to it. And the one that I think most people never equate him with, never think was his, and I don't even know whether we worry about where it came from, is that thing that most males, me especially, love to death and couldn't live without.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a TV remote.
The remote, yeah.
He invented the TV remote.
I've got a list in front of me, Morris, and it's not something I know, so I'm just reading. According to these guys, X-ray, radio, you've said, remote control, electric motor. We've got robotics here. There's a book called The Tesla Secret. And, Morris, laser. What about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So really what he was on about was the movement of energy. He had this absolute belief, as he was able to prove with his AC, which was alternating current, that he could move energy a longer period of space. And in this case, with electricity itself, along blocks, literally city blocks, and then much further. And everything you've just talked about is really the manipulation of light waves, the manipulation of this energy source. So X-rays and all the rest of it, there's a couple of people that actually claim to have invented X-rays. We're not quite sure who it is, but he would be one of them.
But how come really for all these things we know, Morris, somebody else's name, we think of Röntgen when we think about the X-rays, how come somebody else's name is the one that's on the front of the cornflake packet and not Tesla?
Because it comes down to the simple belief that I have that history is written by the conqueror.
Fair enough.
And that's what it is, that his arch nemesis was Thomas Edison. I mean, the two of them were literally, I mean, there should be a movie, I know there is, but there should be a villain movie about the two of them. And really what Edison did to him was to railroad him. We're told, with historical perspective not being there, that he really railroaded him at every turn. But what Thomas Edison had was a family, a name, and a known brand that he could literally squash Tesla with, and he just didn't stand a chance against him.
Just reading the stuff here, Morris, the final one says wireless communications and limitless free energy. I think what snubbed him out was, in fact, us, horrible humans, business, community.
Yeah, I do too. It really was. It was all about business. Again, that he could not, by any notion, we've got such a history of him that at every point he had a great idea. He supposedly had a great idea. He tried and tested it. It was sold or bought by somebody else who eventually gave up on him and took away what was his and used it for their own benefit, leaving him distraught. I mean, the guy ended up literally feeding pigeons in a New York park for the last couple of years of his life and died absolutely destitute, unknown to anybody.
All the stuff we're talking about now is brilliant in any age, but it's worth remembering here, this guy was born in 1856. That's just insane.
Yeah, never heard of electricity. I mean, we had Thomas Edison around, certainly people have been playing with a notion of it, but everything we've just read out had never been seen before. It's like you and I have spoken about many times, you know, it's science fiction word or phrase, but we really don't ever know how we're going to do it.
So it's interesting. It's interesting that he. So it's not so much a. He's not so much an inventor, because we are talking about energy. So really, it's he was a channeler. He just knew it was there, and he knew how to channel it.
And he could see purpose for it. I mean, we're talking about a remote control, but what purpose would there have been for a remote control in the late 1800s?
Well, he must have had one. There must be, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. So he saw, even in a very limited space. Now, again, we're talking about a time period when electricity was the devil. I mean, literally the devil.
Oh, yeah.
And there were lots of articles and conversations being had about not allowing it into your home because it would cause mayhem. So you would never think about electricity in your home. It's, you know, it was really almost the Antichrist is how it was described. So many of the things that he talked about, could you imagine going to somebody and saying, I want to X-ray your body for the first time ever. I want to take a picture inside your body. Again, that would have freaked them. So he was talking about stuff that was difficult in his day that really didn't have a market presence or even an understanding of what its possibilities might be.
But, you know, the interesting thing, just again from reading this list, is he didn't do anything for bad. You know, he didn't. We don't read, unless I'm wrong, we don't read of Tesla designing horrible electronic machines they would have used in asylums, as they called them then, stuff like that. It was all for good stuff. We don't read about him designing big, nasty weaponry, except, wasn't there some rumor? Was it him that was supposed to have invented the death ray?
I don't know whether he invented it, but yeah, there's a rumor that attaches him to it. The reality, I think, is that he never got a chance to. I mean, would he have? We don't know, and most probably not, because it seems to be fairly benign. But the guy had enough difficulty without looking for more.
I think it's fascinating stuff. Now, this takes us on to some future stuff, because you listed a whole bunch of energies and powers to me this morning, including hydrogen power, magma power, nuclear waste power.
Yeah, so the conversation's really gone on from the one we started with, and I was being asked quite a bit about, you know, this is one sort of power I've not heard about. What else is there? So there's some really interesting ones. I mean, there's some obvious ones. There's nuclear, there's tidal. Most people have heard about that, hydrogen. There's one at the moment that's flying around, which I refer to as a windmill drone. It's called flying wind power.
Oh, yeah.
And there are a group of companies, mostly in the States, who believe, of course, that the wind power is far higher, is far stronger, I should say, the higher up you go. They are trialing autonomous wind farms that are literally drones that send the energy back to Earth. That one's an interesting one. I mean, again, I don't know whether any of these will work. There's another one which I believe does have a lot of credibility. It's just expensive, and do we want to? But it's magma power.
Yeah.
That we know that the center of the Earth, or as close as we can get to it, is really hot. I mean, if we could channel that, if we could actually bring that into a form that is usable, that, of course, would be an energy source the likes of which we've never seen. We already have geothermal, but that doesn't go down quite as far. We're talking about magma, where it literally goes down much further.
What's algae power?
Algae one, well, algae is what's in the water. So algae are those little things that float around in the water. And what we believe is, and again, there's a lot of science behind this, is that the algae is actually a surprising source of any energy-rich oils. And it's about 9,000 gallons of biofuel to be grown in an acre. So what they believe is that they can actually grow algae, which is cheap to do, relatively inexpensive to farm. You can grow a lot of it in a small space, and you could then turn that into an oil that could then be used in our machines.
So much stuff here. And, of course, let's not forget human power or kinetic, you know.
Yeah, look, kinetic power. And I don't understand why we don't use it more. Could you imagine? I mean, think about all the people that are walking around Hong Kong at the moment. Could you imagine if the footpath that they were walking on was connected, and the energy they were creating by walking on it could be stored and reused? And, of course, we can. The technology exists for that. It's, again, the expense of it, as the same conversation with the cars, buses and trams that are on the roads as well. You know, again, we can do it. Will we do it? Don't know. The expense so far has made it not practical. Although, having said that, there are some buildings around that are already capturing the movements in the lobby. There's one or two that I'm aware of in America that, and mostly for marketing reasons, capturing the people walking on the lobby, and that's being turned into energy that then fuels the lobby area itself.
If you bear in mind that this, all it is transference of one kind of energy to another, it doesn't stop. I mean, to put the lid on the Tesla thing once again, he would have put a lot of people out of pocket with his stuff, and I think that has a lot to play with it.
Yeah, but he's got a whole lot of new industries that are evolving. I've already seen, and I mean, literally just driving around in Melbourne, I've seen two tradespeople's trucks that are already selling Tesla power walls. So there's already a business starting around doing that.
I meant the inventor, but you're absolutely right.
Sorry. Yeah, he did too. But going back to our current friend, Elon Musk, he's also got some other really cool inventions, I believe, or some thoughts around how to do it, which takes us back to Tesla. And that is that he believes that all of our roofs should, in fact, be collectors of solar energy. And he's just patented, or not just a couple of years ago, patented an entire roof that doesn't require solar panels on it because the roof itself collects the energy, as do windows, which is not his but somebody else. And that kind of stuff makes sense. If we're going to resolve this energy issue, we really do have to think like our friend Nikola Tesla, going back 100 years ago. We have to see beyond what's currently in front of us and look for really new, innovative ways to do it.
Fascinating.
And that was his legacy, I think, to us. But even though he wasn't able to commercially make a go of it, he certainly put a lot of things into the ether that other people took up, and that has given us a whole lot of new energy sources and products that we use.
All right, Maurice. Well, thanks as always. Fascinating stuff. We'll chat again at the same time next week. That's Maurice Misolowski there on the line from Melbourne.